Going from brokenness to freedom. Grab a drink here. Today is the third of four sermons for the first section of what we've been covering. And again, what I'm kind of inviting us into is this journey of exchanging brokenness for freedom, finding freedom in Christ. And the first stage, there's three stages, you'll see in the top of your notes there, is admitting life is not working. And, you know, coming to face with reality is a hard process. It's a hard thing to do. And that, you know, we're going to take some time to look at that. So today's the third one of four of kind of getting real with ourselves and admitting that life is not working. The first Sunday, I talked about roadblocks, why we wouldn't even want to go down this journey. And usually it's because of a fear and failure. Those are things that are very powerful, and we want to exchange those things with truth. Last week, I touched on facing reality, that, you know, we're all hurt people. And when we don't deal with hurt in a proper way, it just builds and it builds and it builds. And we have this progressive tank in us that just fills with hurt. And we have to deal with it in some way. And so we talked about how most of us deal with pain. We medicate it, or we motivate it. That's the busy person that just kind of goes, because you can't, don't want to dare hear what your mind or your heart might bring up as you're doing things. So the motivator, you also meditate on it. This is the person that just kind of stews on things, and after a while it just blows up. And so we spent some time you're processing, hey, does pain exist in my life? You know, how am I managing it? So how am I medicating and motivating it or meditating on it? And is pain winning? Is pain winning in my life? Well, today we're going to continue that journey and talk about kind of the next process. And I have a picture here of what that could look like. Can anybody tell me what we're talking about today? In a word? Oh, there you go, denial. There was a better picture and I couldn't find it again. It fell off my computer. But anyways, yeah, we're talking about denial today. And it's something that we don't want to talk about. We don't want to deal with it. You know, you want to stick your fingers in ears and say, I can't hear you. That's usually how we want to address a lot of the stuff that I want to talk about over the next few months. But you know, this is so important. Getting to the place where we face reality. Again, that life is not working the way I am doing it today. It could be better, but it's a hard road to get there. So we need to take responsibility for that and not project blame onto anybody else, but actually realize that, you know, I'm probably living blinded. When I make my problem everybody else's problems, I'm really just blinded. I'm blinded to my own reality. And so many people live like that day in and day out and just ignore the reality that is going on in and through them. And so what I want to remind us that the story is that there's a blinding force that's very active in our world today. And there's a passage I like to look at in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4. A very profound verse. It has really impacted me over the last couple of months. But just the reality that there's the God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers, and I would put in there believers also. He has blinded the minds of unbelievers and believers so that we cannot see the light of the gospel, that is the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. And so it's just not that we choose to not see the light, but there is an active force blinding us as well. And it's something we often don't think about. To blind in Scripture means actually to cloud or to darken your sight and your perspective and your understanding of things. So, you know, just a quick analogy. I was going to use an overhead to show this, and it didn't quite work so right. Some of you might not even know what an overhead is. But anyways, if we had an overhead shining, you know, God had created us to see through things well, for light to shine through us really well. But the reality of sin and so on in our life has kind of darkened or blinded us. So blinded isn't completely black. You know, Satan never puts a dark piece of paper in front of your eyes or a colored sheet that you can't see through, but he does make it a little more opaque. And so we've gone from what God has created us to be to seeing life through this kind of lens. And, you know, over time, as you start to get injured, and like I said, the hurt happens, and if we don't deal with it right, don't resolve it right, it accumulates and accumulates. It's like, you know, this being scrunched up, and it gets even darker. And if you can see it clearly, there's white lines all over, and my vision and the cloudiness has gotten worse. And that's kind of what it's like to go through life. Your vision is already blinded by the God of this age, but also the things that happen to you and the choices that you make make it even darker. And he's blinded you to that reality as well as, how do I get out of this? And so there's this dark force that is very active in our world and in your life and in mine as well. And so that's just a reality we have to come, we have to face. Scripture uses light and darkness a lot to teach us. The light of the gospel is truth, something that guides us, something that tells us the difference between right and wrong. It tells us who God is, and in light of him, who I am, and you know what this life is all about, where I'm going. It tells me about sin in my life. It tells me about hurt in my life, and how do I get over this stuff? Darkness is Satan's distortion of that. It's him taking that truth and clouding it and making it a little cloudier so I can't quite see my way through it. And again, he distorts who God is. He distorts who you are. He distorts our sense of wrongness. He distorts how we get out of this and makes us buy into fear and to shame. And that's the darkness that's going on in your life and in mine all the time. The God of this age is actively blinding the minds of people. And when you embrace that deception, you're walking blinded. You're living blinded. And then every time you stub your toe or you hit something, you'll kind of wonder, well, why is this happening? God, why aren't you a good God? And why isn't all this working? Well, the God of the age has blinded your eyes. And you have not embraced what God has given us to walk through this. And so stepping out of denial and into reality is a process of understanding and embracing truth. And when you do that, as Jesus said, the truth will set you free. And in that, walking with truth is freedom. And so we're going to explore that a little bit more. And I want to be the first to acknowledge that the church has bought in to a lot of the deceptions of what we're about. As I was sharing with somebody this week what I was going to talk about, immediately we just thought about, you know, as we come to church, a lot of us are fake. This is probably the last place I would ever want to lay my stuff out on the table. You know, we all come all dressed up and we kind of think, hey, I got to act proper now. I'm going to church and I got to meet with a bunch of other Christian people, so I got to look right so that they don't judge me and I feel all okay. You know, we're more likely to share something that's very deep and hurtful in our life with somebody at the bar than at the church. And that's a huge problem. It's a culture that the church has created. And I think it's a blinding that Satan has done in the church to create a place where we feel we can't come and be real. And so we all come and we're fake, and we have this facade, and we live this fraudulent Christian life here, and then we go back to reality on Monday morning. And so this needs to be a place where, hey, we aren't blinded. We face reality here because we're all on the same journey, and we follow a God who wants us to be on that journey and who will meet us there. So what we need to do moving forward is to bring light to our false set of beliefs, the truth that has been distorted and we've bought into that. We need to bring that to light. If we've been blinded, hey, let's bring that reality to light. That is the light of the gospel. Hey, you know what? Even pastors buy into this stuff. One time a pastor was walking down the street and he came across a group of kids who had found a stray dog. And he saw what was going on there. So he said, well, what are you guys doing with this dog? And they said, well, we've decided that whoever tells the biggest lie gets to keep the dog. And the pastor said, you know, you guys shouldn't lie. And he went on into a 10-minute sermon about how bad lying is. And he ended this whole story of, you know, when I was your age, I never told a lie. And the kids kind of looked at him and said, okay, give him the dog. And they said, you know, so often we lie to ourselves. We deny that we're in denial. And it's just this one perpetual lie. Hey, we need to bring to light the false set of beliefs that we've embraced for so long. And one thing you need to remember is that the coping mechanisms I talked about last week, those were coping mechanisms you probably did intuitively as a kid. They were some you didn't know any better, so it's just what you did. But part of the problem is we never get taught that is an unhealthy way of dealing with issues in our life, and it becomes a lifelong pattern. And as we looked at last week as well, it causes a whole series of dysfunction in generations of families. And so it's stuff that we have to confront, bring to light, and call it what it is. I want to define denial first. We need to know what this means. Denial is an unwillingness to believe the truth. An unwillingness to believe the truth. This is the person that says, you know what, I don't have a problem. Everything is okay. Life is working just fine the way it is. There's no problems. You know, and whatever I'm doing behind the closed doors, it's not hurting anybody. They're taking reality and they're unwilling to acknowledge it. usually their issues are more clear to the people around them. But the person who is in denial is completely unwilling to face reality. It's also a false system of beliefs. It's a reality that you have embraced, or it's a system of beliefs that you embraced. This is the person who acknowledges that they're hurt, but they believe that they're completely alone in it. I'm the only one doing this. I'm the only one who's ever experienced this. If anybody else found out, they would not accept me. They would reject me because they would see me for who I am. I'm the only person that's like this. So you have bought into a set of beliefs that are not true, believing that you're the only one facing the reality that you're in. It's also the person who says, I will never be free of this. This is the way my life is, and I will never change. Life will never change. It will never get better. I've resolved myself to that. Just let me be. That person's bought into a false system of beliefs. It's also a commitment to overrule reality. It's a person who recognizes that there's hurt. They maybe even bought into this false system of beliefs, but then they get into this mode of protecting themselves. They overrule the reality that there's an option of getting out of this. They protect themselves. They preserve who they are. And one way they do it is by always trying to be right. They'll try to overrule anybody who challenges them in any way and prove that what they see, what they're doing is right. I know I have a problem, but I've got it under control. I can fix this. I can handle it. I don't need anybody's help. I can do it. They commit to overrule reality. So there's some definitions of denial, some faces of denial. This is getting real time. There's nine listed there. I'm going to go real quickly through them. But you'll notice I put a little line in front of each one. I would like you to get honest with yourself. I want you to check which one you are, which ones you are as I go through them. How does denial reveal itself? So if someone who's bought into a false system, a set of beliefs, commit to overrule reality, all these kinds of things, how does it emerge and show up in everyday life? Well, these are some of the faces of denial. A person who denies simply is one who just pretends the problem isn't there. Everything's fine, it didn't happen, it's over there, it didn't happen, everything's fine. They pretend the problems, the pain, the memories, all of that just doesn't exist. Fairly simple. The second one, minimizing. This person acknowledges that maybe something's there, but it's not so bad. It happened in the past, it wasn't a big deal, and I've moved on. They acknowledge it to some degree, but they refuse to acknowledge the extent of the impact of that event. They refuse to connect their behavior to the pain. I do this, but it has nothing to do with that over there. That's something different. They refuse to acknowledge the dysfunction in their family. So they minimize it. A rationalizer, they make excuses for it. Yeah, I know that happened, but considering where I came from, I'm doing pretty good. I haven't done it to anybody else, or it hasn't gone on into my kids too much. They have an inaccurate explanation of how this has passed on into their behavior. They intellectualize it. This is an emotionally separate person. Yeah, it happened, but they don't have no connection with the fear that they have, the shame that they have, the isolation, the lack of friends that they have. It's just a very intellectual thing. They generalize it. They blame. They recognize some level of responsibility, but it's really somebody else's problem. An example of this would be an abused child. If a person was abused as a child, they think that they're forever within that condition, and it's a result of somebody else's choice, so I can't do anything about it. It was something done against me, so this is just who I am, this is where I'm at, and nothing can change. Well, it is true that the other person made a choice that created the event, but you have a choice to for your future. You have a choice to address it in a healthy way so that the pain doesn't dictate your life. How you deal with the pain, how you deal with the memory of that event is your choice. And so blaming others doesn't get you anywhere. Diversion. This person, when someone's kind of getting close to the pain, this person quickly changes the subject. Or this is the joker. This is the one at that key time in a conversation of maybe where there's a point of recognizing they just tell a joke and everybody laughs and all of a sudden the topic changes. This is the person that kind of gets away from actually addressing the issue in their life. The bargainer is someone who knows the pain is there, but they refuse to address it until something else is in place. You know, until that person says, sorry, I'm not going to forgive them. Until I have this ready in my life, then I'll address it now. Or they set conditions on when they will deal with their pain. So they bargain with the process. Passivity ignores the situation altogether. They become very apathetic. This is the victim. This is the person who says, poor me. It's all that other person's fault and I can't get out of this, poor me. Very apathetic, very non-committal to a process. And the last one is someone who is hostile. The only way of dealing with their pain is to act out on it. If anybody ever dares get close to where they are in life, they get attacked by that person. They refuse to talk about it. They want to scare away anybody who actually might help them. So which one are you? Which ones do you do to cope with your pain, to get away from it? There is an impact with denial. If you live in denial, you become very emotionally flatlined. Your emotions get frozen. You get very disconnected with your feelings, and therefore you're unable to actually develop healthy relationships with people around you. You can't express what you're feeling. You know something's going on in there, but you can't put it into words. You actually don't even grasp it in any way. You can't form good relationships. And there's actually very few emotional exchanges with the people around you, including your spouse. Your emotions freeze. You get anxiety, restlessness, fear, depression. Depression is emotions that have been corrupted and flipped upside down and buried and turned into depression. Anxiety and restlessness can be very subconscious or it can be conscious. Sometimes you get very anxious and you just have no idea why. Well, it's a lot of stuff has been suppressed. You're an isolated person. You refuse to connect with other people. You keep everybody at a certain distance when you live in denial. And you become a very hard-hearted. You don't change. Well, we don't want to be there. That's some of the reality of living in denial. To move forward, I want to spend a little bit of time in a psalm that I think is really healthy for us. And in doing so, we see that there's a life story that's still unfolding. We see your life story in light of truth. And so, we've been living in denial, embracing this false set of truths. Well, we want to put our story in light of truth. We don't want to be blinded. We want to bring things to the light. And so we need to address that. You know, we could look at the great philosopher of Calvin. He provides so much insight into life. You know, he says it's not denial. It's just very selective about the reality I accept. Well, no, that's not the way we want to live. We want to call reality what it is and embrace it. And to do that, we need to look at God's word. So if you have a Bible, turn to Psalm 139. And we're gonna work our way through that and see how our life story can bring things to reality and see what God has to say about it. So when we look at our life story, if you want to get out of this thing of denial, buying into the blinding of your reality, we need to stop pretending to be God. That's the first thing. When we see our story in light of truth, we need to stop pretending that I can control this. I can figure out how to get out of this. This is within my grasp. This psalm reminds us, no, it's not. Only God is God. And only God truly understands what's going on in you and around you. And the psalmist says this. Let's look at the first 10 verses. David says, O Lord, you have searched me and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise, you perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You're familiar with all of my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely, O Lord. You hem me in, behind and before. You have laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, and if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. The first 6 verses here, we see that God is very thorough. He searches things. He brings things to light. He knows all things. But not only does he know all things, he knows you. He's very personal in his knowing. He says, the psalmist says, "You search me. Know me." And it's not a command, it's not a quest. He's really acknowledging what is. That God does search you. He does know you. He knows everything about you. He already knows your past, and he already knows your future. Yet he still loves you. He still accepts you. He still wants to work with you and guide you forward. Verses 5 and 6 talks about God surrounding us. There's nowhere that we can run from him. If you think of your past, your mistakes and stuff, God knows it. He knows what was done against you and the things that you have done. He knows all that. You can't run from it because he's there. He's behind. God's also before. He knows where you're going. He knows your potential. He knows your needs, and he provides for them. Yeah, he knows what opportunities need to be there for you to flourish. He's ahead of you. He's there too. He's there. There's nowhere you can escape. He is behind, and there's nowhere you can run away from because he's before. God's care and protection is always there, and as the psalmist says, it's too wonderful to comprehend. God is there. So you need to stop pretending that you've got control of your life, because you don't. You are not God. Only he knows what is going on in your life. He knows what went on in the past. You can't hide that from him. Even if you wanted to keep yourself in denial, he knows what it is. And if you're looking to the future, where does this go? How do I get out of this? He's there. He's paved the way for you already if you so choose to embrace it. So stop pretending to be God. You need to admit that you need help. Denial is bringing keeping things in the dark, seeing things in a blinded light. You need to bring it to the light. And by doing that, you're actually acknowledging, I can't deal with this. I need help. I'm not God. I can't control this. I need this, you to carry this for me. Verse 11, he says, "If I say, surely the darkness will hide me." If I go to the darkest places and I want to hide this stuff, and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. There is no darkness in God's economy. There's no darkness in God's presence. If you come to him and acknowledge for who he is, then the darkest areas of your light are of your life are brought to light. So it's foolish to think that the darkness can inhibit God's ability in your life and where you can go. You can't hide, you can't escape, you can't conceal, you can't just live dormantly. You need to admit where you are, accept his light and his truth, because he wants to walk with you. Admit your need. Believe your life story is unfolding. I think this is one of the biggest areas we struggle, is that if we look back at our life story in the past and we see how broken it is, we think, well, that's it. That's who I am. That's the way it's going to be. But we forget the reality of what I spoke a couple weeks ago in Ephesians 2:10, that you are God's workmanship, created to do great things that he had prepared in advance for you to do. The story is not done. And the psalmist picks up on that as well. Verse 13 to 22, one of the passages you might know before, but it's an awesome passage. It tells how God formed us and created us and the plan he has for us. In verse 13, he says, "For you created my innermost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place. And when I was woven together in the depths of the earth, your eyes saw my unformed body. And here's the plan. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be." Before you took a breath, every day that God had you, or will have you live, was designed. From the very beginning, God had a plan for your life. Verse 17, "How precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. Were I to count them, they will outnumber the grains of the sand. When I awake, I am still with you." I'll stop there. Verse 18. God thinks of you all the time. The thoughts of you would outnumber the grains of sand on the earth. God created you with care. He created you with a plan and a purpose before you were born. He thinks of you constantly. And how? What does he think of you? Oh, that person's a screw up. No. Out of his very nature, God looks at you with love and care and grace, provision, sometimes discipline, but all the while protecting and guiding. He thinks of you constantly because his plan is not over. He still has a plan for your story and wants to unfold if you embrace freedom. And the process involves leveraging pain. So we have this great picture of how God created us in the beginning, how beautiful it was. But then you think, yeah, but you should see my story and what went on. Well, the way forward is to face pain, is to embrace it, and then to leverage it. And David does that here. Verse 23, "Search me, O God, and know my heart." Get the picture of bringing to light here. Search me. What is down there? Know what's inside my heart and test it. Know the thoughts I have, the anxious thoughts I have. Verse 24, "See if there's any offensive way in me." And what the psalmist is saying is bring to light this stuff. Don't let me bury it. Don't let me live in denial about it. But bring it to light. Run into the pain. And then when you do that, you can actually leverage it. Because that's when healing comes. Don't revisit the if onlys. Man, if only this hadn't happened. If only I had made that choice. Or if only this. Or if only that. There's a life story that God is unveiling in you. You need to take it and leverage it. Run into the pain. Understand it. Bring it to light. Embrace it. Search and know it. Make it known in me all of the offensive ways. And then when you do that, the last verse, God says, David says, "Lead me in the way everlasting." Searching and knowing, acknowledging, running into, confessing and praying over, all are precursors to living everlasting. This is the journey I want to lead us on, is that we dig deep. Bring to the surface all the things that we've been bearing, living in denial about. Bring it to the light of Christ. And when we do that, we can live in an everlasting way. We can find a way of freedom. And the psalmist leads us to do that. So next week, we're going to come to the last of the first four sermons on getting real. And getting real is not just facing my reality, how I cope, and what have I been denying, and how have I been denying it. But it's now acknowledging the hope, that there's actually hope. And so next week, we want to plan a great response of service where we acknowledge the source of hope. If you've been able to journey with me so far and acknowledge what you're doing and what you're facing and how you're coping with it and all that stuff, next week is a time that we can bring it to God and say, okay, I'm ready. I believe that there's hope to deal with this. And we want to go there. In prep for that, though, I left some reflection things for you. And I can't express enough how important it is to bring to the surface, even through writing. If you're not ready to share it with somebody, I understand. At least share it with yourself. Take a piece of paper if you don't have the notes, but take something out and respond to this. Write it down. See it for yourself. It's something significant when you see it for yourself and it comes out on paper or through your mouth. I want you to acknowledge the greatest struggle or issue or pain that you are facing today. God, search me and know me. Bring to light the things that I am dealing with today. Don't let me deny it. Don't let me buy into that blinding. What am I dealing with today? What is my favorite form of denial? When I'm looking at that issue, how am I coping with it? How am I denying that it's there? Look at the list I provided. And then the truth. We want to replace blinding with truth. What truth are you impressing upon me? Out of Psalm 139, what have you been telling me about who I am and the story that I'm a part of? Write those down. Let's take a few minutes just to do that. Let me pray as we prepare to do that. God, thank you for the opportunity to explore something we don't talk about a lot, but it's living in denial and how we have these coping mechanisms. Thank you that we can acknowledge that there is a power beyond us, blinding us to the reality of our lives. He's wanting to take guilt, which is a good thing, bringing to light the bad choices that I have made, But he's taking that and distorting it into shame. And shame holds us captive. Fear holds us captive. And so acknowledging that we deny things, that we bury things, breaks that slavery. It brings to light what is broken in my life. And it acknowledges then that there's a power over me that has brought this reality, but there's also a power over that that can help me through it. Because I'm not God. And so we want to acknowledge the pain that is in our lives to you today. I pray for each one here as we struggle with this, I pray that you bring to mind the issues that they're struggling with today. Maybe it's the same one they've been struggling with for decades. So just make that clear. Help them to acknowledge how they've been coping with it, how they've been denying it. And most importantly, I pray that out of the psalm, we have some sense of what are you pressing upon me? The value that you've placed in me, the story that you want me to live, and the hope of moving forward. So just in these few minutes, I just pray that you would guide us into that. Thank you for the hope that we have in Christ, that we're going to celebrate that next week. And for anybody who doesn't quite understand that or quite get that, I pray that God, you would impress upon them that there is a living hope through a Jesus who walked on this earth through human history and has presented love and grace and mercy and forgiveness and peace, all the things that we look for, if we would just embrace them. So just help us as we guide through that or process that here in these next few moments. In your name, amen.